From WNYC, this is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. Next week, Hindus, Sikhs, and Jains around the world will celebrate Diwali. We'll hear a lot in this show about how different people do that and what Diwali is about. But for now, well, you don't need this white guy to explain it. Instead, let's hear from a different white guy. Dwight, from The Office.
Diwali is a celebration of the coronation of the god King Rama after his epic battle with Ravana, the demon king of Lanka. It symbolizes the battle between good and evil.
All right, this isn't Lord of the Rings.
I wanted to talk to a real Diwali expert, so I went to see Dali Serju, who lives in Queens. Dali grew up in Trinidad, but she's been living in the U.S. for more than 20 years. And Trinidad has a really unique food history. The British brought a bunch of indentured servants there from India, and those people transported Indian food and Hinduism with them. So now, Trini food is this delicious blend of Indian, African, Caribbean, and Chinese cuisines. And everyone there gets into Diwali. I joined Dali and her daughter, Mandy, as they made some of their classic dishes for the holiday. How is Diwali celebrated in Trinidad? It's a national holiday, right?
It is a national holiday. And, oh my God, it's a huge, huge celebration. For us, it's like we're celebrating Christmas. And it's, you know, that time you have all this happiness and this joy of, you know, of life and everything. And on that day, husband would give their wife gifts. If it's not clothing, it will be jewelry and money. They would share money towards, you know, the kids. For us, we believe that that is like our new year. So we want our home to be clean, and we'll be cleaning. And we want also our mind and our body to be clean.
Mandy, talk to me about Diwali in particular. What do you love most about Diwali?
It's more of just spending time with each other. It's just like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to sit down for prayers. We're like, they say when you pray together, when you eat together, it just makes the family stronger. And you're just there and you're like, oh my God, I love you guys. You might get more nerves sometimes, but I love you guys.
The food cooking.
So what do we got here, Dali?
We're making pilori that we're going to use in the curry. And we're going to have separate, and on this side here, we're making the sweet rice. We make a lot of sweets on Diwali.
But now in Trinidad, there's people with all different kinds of backgrounds. So how do those people come together on Diwali in Trinidad?
In my village, we would celebrate Christmas with the Christians. With the Muslim, we'll celebrate Eid. And they would do the same if we're having a function. We would invite them over. They would come. That's the thing is, it's like in Trinidad, we live with our neighbors as though they are our families. And it's the same thing here in New York that where I live. All my neighbors, they come to my house and they look forward. You know, like one of my neighbor told me one year I didn't make any sweets and I just made parsad and I made sweet rice and I, you know, give it to them. And she's like, oh my God, but I was looking so forward looking for your sweets every year. That's what I look for.
So now we're taking the little pilori balls and you're sprinkling a little bit of sauce on top.
Yeah, this is a mango chutney.
Ooh.
So.
And what's in these fried balls?
It's just split peas powder with salt, pepper, garlic, green seasoning, and I added spinach to it. So I make it with a little twist.
I have a feeling that a lot of your recipes end with that sentence.
Yeah, most likely. It's a little spicy.
It stays like this, Dali, that I love my job. This is so... I'm literally at work right now. I'm hanging out at your house and you're feeding me.
Yeah.
Can you hold your microphone for a minute so I can eat? Thank you.
Yeah. Try it. It has a little spice to it.
All right.
You might get more of a kick with the sauce on it than...
Yeah, it's got more kick. There's some kick there. I'm okay, though. And my producer here, she's been helping me to build up my spice tolerance. We've been working hard on that together. That's really good. It's got so much flavor. I'm going to eat another one. Has coming to the U.S. changed the way you cook at all?
No, it hasn't. I cook the same way, same tradition, everything. Nothing has changed. That's why when anybody come to my home, they'd be like, oh my God, this tastes so good. I can remember having this, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I don't look about calories or fat or whatever. It's not that you're going to eat the whole thing. You're going to have a little bit. So I keep everything traditional, the same way they used to make it and everything.
Do you like to cook some of these foods? Have you been learning from your mom?
Yes, I started learning to cook when I was 13, so I know how to cook it, but it still tastes better when she makes it.
Well, she's still got a few years on you.
Yes.
maybe in a few more years you'll catch up to her.
Yes.
What do you like about cooking with her?
Cooking with her, it's more fun because you get to hear more stories, and it's like a totally different side because it's more of like, you know, togetherness when you cook.
So, Dolly, can you see a time at some point in the future when you'll be over there on the couch and all your kids will be here in the kitchen cooking and you'll have your feet up and they'll be serving you?
I wish for that day.
When she was teaching me how to cook, when I was first learning, she's like, you're turning the pot wrong. She took the spoon out of my hand. She's like, no, this way. And she started turning it the other way.
So how has that changed over time?
She's a lot more nicer with it. She's like, oh, yeah, you know how to make it. Just make it. Just go ahead.
So, Dolly, is it that you've gotten mellower or that Mandy's gotten better at cooking?
I think I got a little more mellower.
But what's it like for you cooking with her?
It's like recreating a memory I had with my mom. I would always be with my mom and dad, and we would always cook as a family. And so it's like, you know, in my mind, I'm recreating. I'm at a happy place. I'm creating back that memory I had growing up as a little child.
When you were learning to cook from your mom, did you feel like you ever got to the point where you could do it as well as she could?
Oh, yeah. I was always... I was always an overachiever. I always wanted to do it on my own. And
how does it make you feel when you're hanging out in the kitchen with her cooking?
Oh, my God, it's great because, you know, they would ask a lot of questions. I would try my best to answer most of them as I can. And the fun, they would be like, can we do it this way? Can we do it that way? And no, we had to do it this way. it's nice. It's a bonding. I don't know if everybody look at it that way, but I think it's a bonding experience with your children. And I'm talking about not only my daughters. I do that with my sons too. I have them in the kitchen and I try to incorporate all of them into cooking. Can you hand me the bowl with the pilori?
So, Mandy, why is it important to you to learn from your mom how to cook all these foods?
I mean, I like to eat, and but even when she's gone, I can always pass this down to my kids and teach them, well, this is what my mom taught me, and they'll love the same foods that I grew up with.
What do you think of that, Dolly?
Well, they had to carry on the tradition some way, because my mom and dad were great cooks, and it's nice to see that they want to pass the tradition on to the next generation. In my next life, and I come back and I happen to come back into the family again, I'll be getting good food.
That was Dolly Sergiu and her daughter Mandy. And man, what a feast. They also made chana and aloo, which is like spicy chickpeas and potatoes, and a flatbread called dal puri that was amazing. And I want you to know that you too can hang out with Dolly in her kitchen, eat her amazing food, and even learn to cook it. Because Dolly works with this great group called League of Kitchens that offers cooking classes taught by immigrants in their homes. So whether you live in New York or you're coming for a visit and want a truly unique experience, this is unlike any other cooking class you'll ever take. Get more info at leagueofkitchens.com. Coming up, I'll talk with the one and only DJ Rekha live on stage. She'll tell me how her family celebrates Diwali and what Indian dish is best eaten with a spork. Stick around. Uh-huh. Welcome back to The Sporkful from WNYC. I'm Dan Pashman. Our big live show in Brooklyn is just 1 week away, and we have more exciting guests to announce. Legendary food critic Mimi Sheridan will join me to help answer questions that you've called in with, plus live music from Mamie Minch. We'll also have empanadas from the Nuches truck, Irish chips from the Chipper truck, and yes, hot dogs from the famous Walters of Mamaroneck, which is a nationally registered historic landmark. And of course, John Hodgman and I finally go head-to-head to debate whether hot dogs are sandwiches. We're looking into renting podiums. Get your tickets now at thebellhouseny.com. Now, let's get back to Diwali. If you're into club music and or South Asian culture, you already know DJ Rekha. But if you aren't, well, she basically put a type of North Indian folk music called Bhangra on the map. Here's a bit of her track, Basement Bhangra Anthem, with Wyclef Jean. I'm here. The Bhangra got me while I'm one foot in the air. Rekha's also served as a cultural ambassador for the State Department and spun records at the White House. She joined me recently live on stage at Tufts University.
Check, check. Just checking the mic.
Oh. Well, you know how to use one of these, don't you? So, Rekha, we're approaching the Hindu holiday of Diwali. Mm-hmm. It's known as the Festival of Lights.
That's right.
Right. Have you had to fight the Jews? Has anyone trademarked that yet? Because we have a Festival of Lights, too, you know.
Yeah, it's not the same time period, but yeah, there's enough to go around.
Okay, all right.
We do have a parking suspended in New York City, so.
Oh, well, that's...
We have one day. There are many Jewish holidays that have many days okay. suspended, so we're getting there.
Well, I'm pulling for you guys to get a few more parking holidays. How do you celebrate Diwali with your family?
We light the house up, extra lights, and... We have a puja, a little religious ceremony. Then we have a little bit of Diwali sweets. If my dad is in a good mood, he gives us money. And then we play cards. They celebrate the goddess Lakshmi, which is the goddess of prosperity. So in the spirit of prosperity, we gamble. So it's a family affair.
That's not always so prosperous.
When you win, it is.
And do you guys drink anything?
Yeah, we drink scotch.
Okay.
Me and my father like to drink scotch.
Nice. Well, we're here on a college campus. I have a mini fridge here because I wanted us to feel like we were a little bit like in a dorm room here on campus. And I'm going to open up the fridge, and I got some surprises for you in here, Rekha.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Say when.
When.
Let's get some sound effects here. Oh, we'll add that in post.
Your glass is a lot bigger than mine.
Cheers.
Cheers. Oz right.
I can get, this is a holiday I can get behind.
Yes, it's my favorite holiday.
Let's look in the fridge and see what else we got.
I see you have a mess.
We got Indian sweets. Mm-hmm. Let's snack on these. So what? There are green ones and white ones. They're sort mm-hmm. of rectangles. Mm-hmm. What are we eating? Tell me about it.
So what we're eating... is barfi. It's a milk concoction, solidified, and there's two kinds there. One is plain barfi, and the green one is pistachio.
Well, it's really good. It's kind of like a cheesecake filling, mm-hmm. but a little bit sort of denser and with a little bit more texture to it, which I really, it's not quite so creamy, it's a little drier, but it is delicious.
In Diwali, often with the sweet offerings, there's often a lot of different kinds of sweets. People try to outdo each other. The boxes are more... elaborate every year, people gift them to people, but I prefer to go back to the basics. The plain burfi is my favorite.
You kind of grew up between two cultures.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
I feel blessed. I think it was great. I was very lucky. I think I grew up in between many cultures, suburban, urban, Indian, non-Indian. I grew up in a predominantly African-American community, African-American Caribbean community, so that's another culture. I've spent a lot of my adult life in the Brooklyn culture, so there are many cultures.
But it's got to be hard at times, too. I mean, do you ever, like, I'm sure at times growing up, you felt like you didn't belong exactly in any one place.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's typical. I mean, especially if you're in an immigrant household, you feel like you're not getting, you're not doing what other people are doing in the same way, or your parents don't value things that... You know, things like vacations or like famously Asian sleepovers or, you know, things like that.
So, Asians don't have sleepovers?
No. Why would you go to somebody else's house to sleep or camping? Like, why would you go willingly out into the woods when you have a house. Like, it makes no sense. It's just like, you did not come to this country to then go and not be sheltered, free of choice.
When you first started getting into music and working as a DJ, what did your parents think?
I mean, originally I was worked with my male cousins, so they didn't think much of it. It's when I took longer and longer to graduate college and had fewer and fewer day jobs that they started getting concerned. Like with any parents, you know, with any most parents want economic stability. So they weren't too pleased, and I definitely lied a little bit when I quit my last job. I once met my dad in a business suit for lunch because he thought I was taking a lunch break and I had already quit my job. But yeah, I mean, it took a while. I mean, still, sometimes they're like, when are you going to get a job? This is my job.
Right. Tell me about like what kind of food you guys eat growing up in your house.
So we had every night. My mom, I don't know how she managed to do it. We had a fresh Indian meal, fresh rotis, which is unleavened bread, mostly vegetarian. One lentil, one vegetable dish, and often just chicken. After school, we ate every processed American food imaginable. Chef Boyardee's, TV dinners.
Why was that? Your parents weren't. Your mom was working.
Latchkey kids.
Okay.
Our school let out really early.
What were some of your favorite Indian staples growing up?
Well, I was kind of, I wasn't so into Indian food growing up because I felt like I was forced to eat it. But I came around and now it's my favorite food in the world. I love rice, chicken and rice. I love chicken and rice in any culture. So that was my favorite. On Sundays for brunch, my mom would make stuffed parantas, which is the bread stuffed with different fillings. So she'd make it, her specialty was aloo. So it's potato filling,
oh, yeah,
spices, and you eat it with yogurt or butter.
And how would you do how do you combine the yogurt and the flatbread?
It's just sort of a dip.
So you break it up with
you
your hands
it up
and dip
and
it.
Then you, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what would be your ideal ratio of paratha to yogurt? How much yogurt do you want in a bite?
You want enough. You don't want to overpower it.
Mm-hmm. You want mostly to taste the paratha.
You want to taste the paratha.
And what was your favorite American processed food?
My favorite American processed food. This is the first time I'm ever sharing it. I really like chunky sirloin burger soup.
From
they
a
had,
can.
They had grill marks on the burgers. I don't know. I have a real, like, I like spicy food and Indian food, but I also like really like meat and potatoes, banal, you know, some things that's just like kind of salty. I guess I would say I have the meat tooth.
Yeah, I hear you really like kebabs. Like really
I do.
Kebabs.
I do.
Is it true that your nickname as a child was Kebab?
How did you find that out?
We're breaking all the news on DJ Reka tonight.
In my 20s, my friends nicknamed me Kebab.
That's now, right. One of the things that is interesting to me about eating Indian food is that you often have a lot of different components in a spread. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not just eating one thing. There are so many ways to combine it and so many bites that can be composed. Walk me through like one of your ideal bites of Indian food. How do you compose the bite? What's in it? Like, nerd out here with me for a minute.
If there's fresh bread there, I like to mix in the rice with the different ingredients, whether it's like a vegetable or a meat, and then take the bread and put the rice and the bread together and make that my bite. That's the ideal bite for
Interesting.
Me. And then dip it in some yogurt.
Is there some kind of a mortar that adheres the rice to the bread? Do you get some dal in there?
You just kind of scoop it.
You make the bread into a scoop.
Yeah. One of the things you learn as a kid is how to break the bread with one hand.
Whoa.
Yeah, advanced skills.
Well, I mean, traditionally, many Indian people eat with their hands all the time. It's very common, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, it is.
And I know that I have Indian friends whose grandparents say it doesn't taste right if it's not with their hands.
Right. I didn't grow up in that household. We did grow up eating rice with spoons, and then as an adult, I started eating it with a fork, and now I actually use a spork.
Awesome, a spork.
Yes.
Man, if we could get this going on the subcontinent.
Yeah, I mean, it's ideal. You need a little bit of the tines to grab, you know, to get some texture, to grab things, but you really want to get the most amount of rice in each bite.
Well, you're 100% right, Reka, and I fight with my wife about this because whenever we have rice, she wants a fork with her rice. It makes no sense. Like, the shape of a piece of rice is exactly perfectly engineered to fall between the tines of your fork. Why would anyone eat rice with a fork? It makes no sense.
Yeah, but you need the fork to grit the meat, so. It's...
Right. You need a spork.
You need a spork.
That's DJ Reka. She hosts Basement Bhangra in New York the first Thursday of every month at Le Poisson Rouge. And you can find her other tour dates and info at djreka.com. As I said, I talked to Reka live on stage at Tufts University, and I want to give a quick shout-out to the Tufts Bhangra team. They performed an amazing dance right before Reka came out on stage, and they're one of the top Bhangra teams in the whole country. So if you ever get the chance, check out Tufts Bhangra. Quick reminder, just 1 week until our big live show in Brooklyn with John Hodgman and so much more. Get your tickets now at thebellhouseny.com. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheSporkful. Connect on Facebook at facebook.com/sporkful. This show is a production of WNYC and The Sporkful. It's produced by Ann Sani and me. We get help from Tim Ruggieri. Special thanks to Paula Schumann. And thanks to everyone at Tufts who made our show there possible. We'll thank them properly and individually in our upcoming Live from Tufts episode. Let's go out with some more music from DJ Reka. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And I'm Andrew from Denver, reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.
Indian and you love to party, have a happy, 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 happy Diwali.